The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuʻule Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kuʻule Ogbayani alongside Paul Brecht. Man, aside from all of the NFL free agency stuff going on, which we'll get to a little later in the show.
Is there just stuff going on?
Just a little bit. Because that was not like one of the first things you brought up when you walked into the studio about all the other stuff going on.
Why would I talk about football?
We will talk about the interesting developments that happened with one of Paul's quarterbacks on his team a little later in the show. Do we start with the good news or the bad news first?
I am a proponent of starting with bad news so I can be cheered up by good news.
Okay. We will start with the bad news then. Yeah, the worst has been confirmed by UH men's volleyball head coach Charlie Wade yesterday at the media scrum that Spyros Hakas is officially out for the remainder of the season. However, the specifics of why he is out and what the injury is will not be said. But let's just start off first things first. I want you guys to hear it for yourself. Here is what Charlie Wade had to say yesterday regarding the condition of Spyros and just how the team moves forward heading into especially a big conference weekend at Long Beach State.
I want to thank the fans first for all their support, not only throughout the year, but this last weekend was special. You know, really made it in a great event for us. And then I'd like to thank the fans too for all the outpouring of support and aloha for Spyros. It's really been impressive. The number of people literally all over the planet, and obviously a lot here locally that are, you know, generally concerned for him. He is getting great medical care, and you know, due to the respect to Spyros and medical privacy laws, that I'm not going to comment specifically about his injury.
If you guys expect him back at all this season?
He will not be back this season.
If he doesn't come back, can you just talk about kind of maybe the mark? I mean, he's a senior, so can you talk about maybe the mark that he's left on this program while he's been here?
Yeah, I mean, it's he had an impressive career, right? Like, he's been such a big part, you know, a level of irony that he wins his second National Player of the Week honor today. It just illustrates again, you know, he's literally one of the best players in men's collegiate volleyball. He's had an amazing career with us, played a significant role on both league and national championships throughout his career, and he will be missed. There's no question. It's a devastating loss for our program, and we got to pick up the pieces and move on.
I don't know if you noticed in the moment, but on Sunday when it happened, the place went eerily dead quiet. Like, you could hear a pin drop. I think everyone knew just kind of the extent of it and understood what he means to you and stuff. Have you ever have been in a situation like that in your coaching career?
I've never seen anything like that. You know, that was one of the images that'll stick with me throughout that whole thing, that it goes from, you know, match point, to all the energy and stuff, to absolute dead silence. That was kind of freaky, for sure.
You got Long Beach this week and stuff, and it's already a tough challenge, but it's obviously, you know, a blow to the team. How do you just kind of, maybe not just from a volleyball side, but from a mentally side, kind of pick up the pieces and move on?
Yeah, that's a big challenge. You know, again, I think it's a devastating loss to, obviously, you know, it's a huge blow to Spyros in his career, but to everybody, coaches, players, fans. I think everybody, you know, is, you know, hurt and saddened and concerned, and it'll be a challenge for sure.
Yeah, how much are you hurt for Spyros as a person? Because, you know, after the season, that would be around the time that he would start his pro career and whatnot.
Yeah, there's no question he'll have, and he'll still have a professional career. He'll bounce back. I'll say this too, of all the people that I've talked to, he's probably doing the best. You know, he is in great spirits and really got a positive attitude. You know, we've had some pretty extensive conversations I've had with him and with the surgeon, and, you know, going to get him the best course of action going forward. And, you know, Spyros is one of the things that the surgeon said to me just commented on how impressed he was with Spiros as a professional, like how he handled this whole thing. He deals with this a lot, and to see a guy like that to be processing and doing it, something we can all be proud of.
That being said, obviously with, you know, this week of practice leading into the start of Big West play, you know, how important are these, are these next practices before you guys go up to Long Beach?
Well, we only get one, you know. We had the day off yesterday. It was already pre-planned, and then we're leaving here tomorrow morning. So we'll get after today in the gym. Like I said, it's a huge challenge, and, you know, not an ideal situation for us, but we got to pick up the pieces and move on. You know, we got 5 weeks to figure out what we got to do to come back here and play in the Big West tournament. And right now, the next 10 matches are for seeding. And, you know, is there really any difference if you're playing in the 3-6, which spot you're in? Would we like to get the one or the two? Sure. But for us, there will be a match to qualify for the NC2A tournament in the Stan Sheriff Center in late April. We need to be in that match, and we need to win it.
And that was UH men's volleyball head coach Charlie Wade officially announcing the news that Spiros Hakas is out for the remainder of the 2024 season. That was yesterday. Also, answering questions from the media was Spiros' teammate, Kurt Neusterer, and a couple of, I guess, key quotes to look out for. And Paul and I were talking about it off air just now, is that Kurt is very emphasizes a lot of what Spiros did just as a captain and as a leader for the team. So more than outside of how good he was potentially in an AVCA Player of the Year type of candidate, just all of the other things he did for the guys off the court is something that will definitely be missed for these guys. But here is what Kurt Neusterer had to say about Spiros.
It was brutal. He's such a big contributor to our team in, you know, so many different aspects. He's the biggest statistical contributor. He's probably one of the front runners for AVCA Player of the Year. He's, you know, contributing, you know, as a leader because he's been here for so long. So, you know, we're kind of trying to scramble now and find you know, the pieces of the puzzle that will work to take the huge chunk that he had and that's left now that we're missing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you can list a million reasons on how you'll miss him on the court. But just what about off the court as a teammate? I think you guys will miss the most.
Off the court as a teammate, probably, you know, his professionalism. We've got, how many new guys is here? 11 new guys, young guys. You know, one 17-year-old, which is, you know, that's a lot of youth. And he was so senior and so mature. And, you know, even some of our veteran guys, myself, you know, we kind of lack in that area sometimes. And he was so, you know, professional, and that, you know, that aspect is going to be deeply missed now that he's not here with us anymore.
There's obviously no good time for this to happen, but it happens the week before you get ready for the Big West and you go to the Pyramid to play Long Beach. It's already going to be a tough challenge, but just how much of a challenge is it going to be mentally, do you think, for you guys to be able to put as difficult as this is behind you and focus on volleyball on Friday?
I think it's going to be tough because not only are you now worried about, you know, who's going to carry 5 points a set, you're also going to be worried about, you know, it's going to be a totally different dynamic out there. We've seen before how all of us have our own individual, you know, characteristics, and we all play with different playing styles. And I really think Spiros was the glue that kind of tied us all together. And regardless of our individual play style, he, you know, brought us together and kept us focused on the same common goal. You know, if I'm running around, he's the one that brings me back and is like, okay, let's go, let's get back after it. And, you know, obviously I'm concerned about who's going to take over the statistical load that's been left, but I'm also really concerned about who's going to take over that, you know, that non-statistical role that he had.
Do you have a specific memory or from a couple of years ago when you first got here of, you know, Spiros being that kind of leader for you?
Yeah. It was one of, like, it was a very tough love moment. I was a freshman, true freshman. Max Rosenfeld broke his hand, and I traveled to a preseason tournament when we played at UCLA and UC Irvine and Orange Coast Community College. And I was a freshman. It was one of those arrangements where we were playing Irvine, and we played four sets regardless of the score. We played the first three, and it was all our starters, and then they put in the B-side for the last set. And Irvine left in, like, Sani. They had this really good opposite at the time, Astanda, I don't know his name, but yeah. And they left in a lot of their really good guys, and we barely lost. And our B-side barely lost to their A-side. And after, I was like, hey, we should be really proud of ourselves for that result. You know, our B-side almost just beat their A-side. And Spiros just totally ripped into me. He's like, you should never be satisfied with losing. And definitely, you know, when I look back, he's absolutely right. And it was my shut up, you're a freshman moment. And he and I joke about that so much now. And it was a big turning point for our relationship.
How much does Sunday make you guys grapple with the fact that, you know, something like that can't happen? Because the last few years, you guys have been pretty fortunate health-wise. You know, and that's testament to your guys and your work too. But how much does Sunday, like, kind of hit mentally?
I think it's scary for all of us. And I think it's a good wake-up call that anything can happen. And, you know, first and foremost, we're students before we're athletes. And, you know, especially this time of year, it's like, school, how much do I have to focus on that when I've got a game against number 1 and 2 and 5 in the same calendar week? Seeing, you know, the type of things that can change, you know, just with the snap of a finger, it's a good wake-up call that there's other things in your life that you need to be taking care of. So I think all of us are going to make sure we're turning in all our assignments this week just in case, you know, something were to happen to us.
Yeah, and to that point, you know, how important is this week leading into the Long Beach series to where you guys kind of need to not, you know, obviously figure things out without Spiros in the lineup? But yeah, how important are these practices and just the prep leading into Long Beach?
I mean, it's so tough because, you know, this is our first practice back, and we've got today, we'll have one practice at Long Beach, and we'll have a serve and pass. So, you know, from a technical point of view, there's a limit to how much better we can get technically within that limited time before we step onto the court on Friday. That being said, we're going to try to, you know, really direct our energy to picking up the pieces and, you know, seeing how we can fill that gap that was left by Spiros. And I think that's just as much, if not more, of a priority than anything ball-related going into Friday's game.
That was UH men's volleyball middle blocker Kurt Neusterer speaking on his teammate, outside hitter, and opposite Spiros Hakas, who it was officially announced yesterday by head coach Charlie Wade that Spiros is out for the remainder of the season. But if you missed Charlie's comments to open the show, he will not say anything further, just for privacy's sake and respect to Spiros on what the extent of his injury is. The only, you know, indication we got during that interview is that he did mention surgery, because he's been talking to the surgeons and whatnot about Spiros, and that Spiros is in the best possible spirits that he can be in at the moment. But nonetheless, you know, so this is, it's competitive sports. This is what happens, which is what Charlie said, and they need to move on. And it couldn't have come at the worst time, to say the least, starting up Big West Conference play this Friday and Saturday at Long Beach State. So going somewhere that's normally difficult to play in, and looking at the AVCA NVA National Collegiate Men's Volleyball poll, the most recent one, as we had talked about on Monday morning, no surprise that Hawaii is number one this week. Who's sitting at number two? Long Beach State. So it's definitely a huge game coming up this Friday and Saturday. And I want to also mention what Spiros himself had posted on his social media, saying, quote, "Not sure I have the words to describe how it feels to not be able to compete in these last 2 months of my four-year journey here in Hawaii. Everything in life happens for a reason. And instead of thinking about the severity of the injury or how scary it was when I fell, I'm proud of myself for always driving everything I had, or excuse me, always giving everything I had on the court, and for growing as a human being over these last few years. I will be next to the team in any way that I can, and I am more than sure that the boys will keep battling in order to achieve what we had all set our goals on for this season. Lastly, I want to thank every single one of you who have reached out and kept me in your thoughts and prayers during a difficult time like this. I will come out of it better and stronger no matter how long it takes or how hard it is. Six out, prayer hand emoji. So hashtag play for six. Let's go.
Play for six, pray for six. He's an awesome, awesome young man. We are sending all of our aloha to him, just as the entire state and volleyball fans around the world. It's been, honestly, I've felt overwhelmed by it. I can only imagine how he feels by the outpouring love from everywhere around the world for him. I hope that continues and doesn't go away, because I've said it on these shows before, these types of injuries can be really isolating, where you're not out on the court when you feel that's where you should be. I do want to put my quick positive Paul spin on this in terms of for the team. If there was a time for you to lose your floor captain and emotional leader in Spyros Hakas, I would say right before Big West play. Does it stink? Yeah, absolutely. This gives them the most amount of time possible to still figure themselves out and figure out an identity without Spyros or post-Spyros going into postseason play and so on and so forth. Like Charlie said, no matter what, you know, there's going to be a match in the stand in April for a spot in the NC2A tournament, and he expects to be in it and he expects to win it. Mm-hmm. So that means they can't sit around and mope and feel bad for themselves. They got to start figuring it out. And what better way than to have a 1v2 matchup right away to see what you're really made of?
Yeah, so big games this weekend. Big West Conference. The Big West Championships are here. We talked about it before at the Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center, April 18th through the 20th. And so it's going to be big time. But first things first, opening up Big West Conference play on the road at Long Beach State. Both games are at 4 o'clock p.m. Hawaii time. So a lot to get through. But nonetheless, let's go. We move on. All of our aloha again to Spyros Hakas. Mahalo for everything he's given to the state. And I'm sure, he'll be back better and ever, ready to still be a professional. And I'm sure he has the best medical care and team that one could ask for.
I am really excited to see the ovation he gets when he does make his return to the stand. Whenever that may be, I really hope that, and I really feel strongly that it will happen. He'll get a pretty good welcome back from his ohana here.
Oh, it'll be insane.
I think about how quiet it was. I think they'll make up for that moment.
Then there'll be all the tears again.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, all of our aloha to Spyros. Healing wishes. Very, very excited to see you back out on the court whenever you do make it out in the next step of your career.
All right, got to step aside. We'll be back to give you the brighter side of news in the Big West, or all Big West honors that went out for men's and women's basketball. And the women taking home quite a lot, but some of the decisions were
maybe not enough.
Yeah, not enough for sure. But we will also hear from the sixth player of the year, Deja Phillips, next on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
It's Wake Up in the Den, Ku'ule Agbayani and Paul Brecht. All right, continuing our conversation with some University of Hawaii sports. Yesterday coming out were the awards for the Big West, all Big West honors. And I guess we'll start with the men first, because there's not a lot. Sorry. I mean that in the best way possible, only because we did it to ourselves, having kind of like the wishy-washy inconsistency in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Even though normally if you see a team finish third in the conference, you're like, wow, I can't believe they didn't get that many awards. But it's because it was very inconsistent in the season. So the highest award that Hawaii got was Justin McCoy getting second team. So much deserved towards the especially like the second half and on. He was really coming into his own. And as head coach Aron Ganot has to say, you know, he was a late bloomer. Never really was the center of a team or did much, being that he was had stops at major programs such as Virginia and North Carolina. But it took him a little while to come into his own being here in Hawaii, because we were actually surprised like why he wasn't doing more. Because if you're good enough to at least be recruited slash make those top teams, then you should be by far someone that can dominate in a conference like the Big West. And now, down the stretch, he came into his own, and hopefully that continues throughout the tournament this week. But Justin McCoy getting the highest honor from the University of Hawaii men's basketball team, earning a spot on the second team. Receiving honorable mentions were also fellow seniors Noel Coleman and Bernardo Da Silva. And same thing, like Noel Coleman, he had games where he flashed a lot of greatness, but then there were games where he just went completely silent. So at least he well-deserved honorable mention had it been more consistent down the stretch. Same thing with Bernardo, especially being more consistent from the free throw line. They probably could have gotten higher honors, but nonetheless, it makes sense.
Very excited for all three either way. Justin, an incredibly hard worker, like you said, somebody who's a bit of a late bloomer. I always like how Gannat put it with, he played behind pros at the last two programs that he was at and finally came here. And when you get not just the opportunity, but then the chance to shine, it does take some time to fully work yourself into that role. It was fun talking to Justin yesterday, too, because he admitted where he was kind of looking along and like, oh, Bernardo's doing a lot for us. Noel's doing a lot for us. I got to step it up. I got to do a little bit more here. I got to do a little bit more on the glass. I got to score more here. And that he said that's a big reason why he took that big turn in the second half of the conference season, where he earned himself that second team honors. And congratulations to him, obviously. It's something he's talked about where he's prayed for this opportunity. He's worked for this opportunity and, you know, just stayed patient. And it finally came to him. And he's really put on a show here in his single season at Hawaii, hoping it can kind of go on through postseason play. And what I like about Justin the most is that that's kind of where his focus is most. He's like, yes, this is very, very nice. It's very cool. It feels nice. But I'm here for the postseason. I'm here to get into the big dance. I'm trying to get into the tournament. And that's kind of the mindset for everybody. And then for Noel, his third honors, it's what we've come to expect. Mm-hmm. He's one of the best players in program history. Just look at his stats. He's top 10 in scoring, top 3, I think, in three-pointers made. He has incredible stats, and he's also a defensive stopper. So not surprising there. You're right. He was a little inconsistent, especially through the first like half to two-thirds-ish of the season, and then really turned it on over the final 10 to 12 games, where he was the Noel Coleman that we've all know to come and love. And then Bernardo, as a guy who's been here for 5 years, finally getting some honors.
Yeah.
It's nice for him.
I know, it's crazy to think that this is the first time he's gotten any type of
right,
honors.
Honorable mention or anything, where it's very nice for him. Glad to see that. He leads the Big West in field goal percentage, I believe, and since Big West Conference play started, I think that's even taken a step up, or perhaps it's for the entire season, one of those two. Either way, he's very efficient from the field, albeit not as much from the free throw line, but that is also greatly improved as this season has gone on. So happy for those three. Like you said, can't say it's surprising we didn't get more honors, more for the fact that it was the inconsistency from the start. A 2-6 start in conference play is hard to come back from. They absolutely did that. But at the same time, you have teams at the top of the conference who were very consistent all year. UC Irvine, UC Davis, UC San Diego.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like when we compare it to the women's side, which we'll talk about in just a little bit, but you look at the players that made the first team and you're like, oh yeah, none of our players have been as consistent or as quote unquote scary as the guys that had made the first team. And Justin McCoy, he actually, even though Noel put up, I think collectively for the season has averages more than him, Justin McCoy actually leads in scoring in the Big West Conference itself, and being that this is a Big West Conference honor. But looking at the all-conference teams, you have, or the major awards, player of the year, no surprise going to Elijah Pepper. That guy has just been like,
he's a stud
from,
man,
UC Davis. He is, and when you talk about consistency, I mean, he's just consistently good every single, at least the games that Hawaii has played him. Coach of the year, Eric Olin, UC San Diego, which I think is well deserved as well, even considering that this team had no shot, and they knew it, that they could not be in the Big West Conference tournament, but still being able to motivate your team so that they wanted to go out and still finish as high as they could in the conference. Newcomer of the year, which is kind of funny, Aniwaniwa Tate Jones, former University of Hawaii Hilo guy, currently at UC San Diego, and he entered the transfer portal, ended up at Division I, and now he's the Big West Newcomer of the Year.
He was very, very good. I will say, if there was one award that I thought there should have been a little more consideration, I did think Justin McCoy deserved consideration for that as well. But also, once again, how can you take anything away from UC San Diego this season? As they continue their, Brian McInnes put it perfectly yesterday, their marathon of a transitional process from, stepping up into this Division I, the Big West and whatnot, where you can't take much away from them. And it's just kind of tough to swallow the fact that he was here in the islands and got out.
Yeah, and UH Hilo, well, they were really, really good with him the last couple of seasons. Freshman of the year, Barrington Hargress, UC Riverside. I don't remember too much about him.
I will ask this. Why doesn't the men's side do a freshman team, like an all-freshman team?
Oh.
Because I was looking for that yesterday as well, where I was like, oh, because I felt like Tom Beattie should get some sort of recognition for a pretty nice first year with the Bows, coming off the bench, starting a few games as well and whatnot, or at the very least some consideration for that. As a true freshman, there was nothing. So, I don't know. I was a little confused just because on the women's side, you do see the all-freshman team. So, I was like, oh, I wonder why they don't do that. We'll have to ask our friend Dom, what's up?
Yeah, where's the all-freshman team for the men? Maybe he'll be like, there's just not enough. Everyone in men's basketball, more people transfer all over the place. So
it's also, I feel like so many freshmen, it's rare to get like consistent true freshmen playing or even redshirt freshmen playing a lot of time. Like there's a lot of continuity in the Big West, I feel like, where you return players. I just talked about Bernardo da Silva finishing his fifth year in the conference and, Noel, 4 years, Javon, 4 years. Blah, 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 blah. All these guys who have long stretches. So
I think that would be the best explanation. I will ask Dom when I see him, but it's just the fact that in men's basketball, it feels like it's just more rare that freshmen consistently play all the time. So
it's just me looking for any way we can get more Hawaii Tom guys recognized.
Just real quick, getting the first team, just so you guys understand, you guys will recognize a lot of these names. Deshaun Allen Eikens from CSUN, Pierre Crockrell, UC Irvine, AJ Mitchell, who we always talk about from UC Santa Barbara, Elijah Pepper, the player of the year, also, of course, would be on the first team out of UC Davis, Bryce Pope, and Abubakar Traore, who is, he is phenomenal to watch.
Stud.
And I wasn't surprised when he actually got the best hustle player also for the specialty awards. But got to step aside. When we come back, we will get to the big time awards and all that the women's basketball team won or earned for the All Big West honors. We'll be back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside Paul Brecht. I'm Kuule Ogbayani. Mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning. Don't forget, you guys can text us too. 808-888-KGU1. That's 808-888-5481. Happy Manawahine Wednesday. We don't have a special guest per se, but definitely someone that is worth being highlighted in just a second as we are talking about the 2023-24 Women's Basketball Big West All-Conference Honors that was announced yesterday. The University of Hawaii doing what they do, but almost surprisingly didn't get more recognition as the clear number one team in the conference. Just not only how they finished, but if you just watch, and they got redemption on the three losses that they had in conference. They beat those teams. So nonetheless, no surprise. I tweeted this and I used Coach Beeman's quote that she said about another player to reference Coach B. Not surprised, but always impressed that Coach B getting Coach of the Year in the Big West. Again, not surprised, especially considering how well they did, but continuing to be impressed by how amazing she is, to say the least. I mean, there's like so many ways that you can describe her, but yeah, she's this season, and just she's phenomenal.
No, I mean, she, if you're a longtime listener to this show, you know that both Koo and I have incredibly big work crushes on Coach Beamon. We think she is a phenomenal coach. This is as well deserved as it gets. I mean, it's her third time being recognized as the Big West Coach of the Year, the second time in the past three seasons. And despite all that, she picked up her 200th win as the Rainbow Wahine head coach, the second head coach in the history of the program to do that. Like you said, the accolades go on and on and on and on and on. And she still hates talking about herself.
Still got to give it to everybody else.
Yeah, her exact quote was like, "You guys know exactly what I'm going to say next." And it's that none of this happens without everybody on, you know, staff and blah. So she is incredibly classy, and it drips down to everywhere else in the program. Her being classy doesn't mean she doesn't still have her thoughts and her opinions on if her team might have been slighted, because I think she might, you know, off record probably agree with what we will say on record, and at least I'll say on record, I feel like the Rainbow Wahine should have gotten more recognition.
Oh, yeah.
They got great.
Yeah. We'll talk about more in just a second. So landing on the second team are Imani Perez and Lily Wahine-Kapu, which is surprise, which, again, we will talk about in just a second. But best sixth player in the Big West going to Deja Phillips. No surprise at all. Again, and Deja also lands on the All Big West first team, the only Hawaii player to land on the first team, but you'll hear her thoughts in just a second. But she was amazing yesterday. We've got like the media scrum with all of the players that received honors and of course Coach B, but here is what Deja Phillips had to say.
I'm definitely grateful for it, blessed for it. But if I'm being honest, I don't get too wrapped up in that stuff. I really care more about my team and winning a ring. I'd rather have a ring, honestly. It's also a team sport, so these individual awards, you know, kind of celebrated with my family. But as a team, I'd rather celebrate a win, a championship with them.
How excited are you to be back in Las Vegas? I know you have your family and your friends there going to be cheering you on at the tournament. Just what your mindset is coming into the tournament?
Still stay focused. I already went to go see my family. They know that I didn't come out here for vacation. It's all business. Spend time with them already, seen my nieces and nephews, and I'll see them again on Friday after the game.
You mentioned last year's Big West tournament, how you felt like this team is coming. They don't know what to be, you know, to be expecting. Just what you feel as just the team this year with the success?
I honestly still feel the same about it. Last year, I think we're going to have the most healthiest team that we've had all year for our few games that we have, especially with our posts coming back, both of our posts coming back. I think the energy, the vibe, we're focused in the weight room, lifting really good in practice, shooting really good.
Just your thoughts on Imani Perez and Lily and just Coach with all this.
My honest opinion is I feel like Lily should have got first team. She's not a second team player. She's honestly a player of the year type of player. It's been times where we've needed Lily, and she's known that we needed her, and she came through for us. And again, it's not a one-person team, so when she needs us, we're there for her. But most times when we tell Lily, do your thing, she comes out and does her thing.
Deja, talk about the fact that, you know, you guys do have a little bit of time with the double bye, kind of how you guys are attacking that, obviously with the advantages of some needed time off to stay and get healthy, but also to keep the, you know, the hot streak that you guys have been on. How do you guys kind of balance that?
I wouldn't say conditioning, but conditioning really, because just getting on the treadmill, you know, getting your lungs pumping, getting your heart rate up just for a little bit, or even when we go to practice, we're not just walking through stuff, we're actually moving and going game speed. So we keep that in shape. we lift weights on a regular. We still keep our same schedule. We our Sunday was our day off. Other than that, we don't. It's that's that. Nothing has changed because we get a double bye.
Yeah, and coach said that you would say that about the awards, that you want to win the Big West Championship instead of really talking about the awards. So just to make that happen once again, what does this team need to do?
We just need to stay focused. And honestly, if we had to play a championship tomorrow, I think we'd be ready to play tomorrow. This team knows what we came to do. And everybody knows what mission we're on. And so I feel like everybody wants it. And because of that, we're focused and we're locked in. And, you know, going to go watch these other teams, see if they put new plays in or what are they doing differently and how are they guarding some of the guards that are similar to us. It's more just film and everything.
Yeah, and could you talk just about, I know it's probably cliche to say, but you guys have done it before, so you kind of know what it takes. So just talk about that mentality and knowing that you guys have been here in this position just to keep doing the same thing that you have been for the last couple of years. Just talk a little bit about that.
It's more of not taking anybody lightly, no matter who we play, no matter what the record is, anything. It's more of just showing them we're still Hawaii and we're still coming out to play and to beat you no matter what. We're putting a message out there for all the teams. We want a higher seed, honestly, going into the tournament when we do go to the tournament. It's just a lot of things, and it's more of us proving ourselves because, again, we had a vote for third place at the start of season. And I think we went through adversity, and we proved in the Big West that we're better than third place.
Yeah, and last one from me. Coach talked about that after the last regular season game to end that. You guys wanted to make a statement that you're not a third place team. So is that kind of something that's really up there for motivation for this team?
When we heard that, we were kind of like, we took it personal. A lot of stuff that people say, we kind of we'll respect you, but we're going to respect you on the court type of thing. We take everything personal and we're selfish. We're not sharing first place and we're not sharing a championship. So
was hoping to get your thoughts on Imani's all defensive team selection and just kind of what she does to make your guys' defense even more impactful and dynamic. You kind of mentioned how nice it was to get the full collection of your bigs back before the regular season ended.
Imani's defense and her blocking definitely saves us and helps us. Her being able to, or us being able to know that if our defender beats us, she's right there and that we have to have her back. Her being able to guard a point guard, her being able to guard a guard. I don't think it's kind of hard to find a 6'4" person that's guarding a point guard that's faster and shorter than her. She's proven herself these past 2 years on defense, and it's showing, and it helps us win games.
And that was UH women's basketball guard Deja Phillips, again, earning the specialty award for the all-conference sixth player of the year. No surprise there. And she likes to come off the bench so she can see how the game is flowing first. And we can't imagine that's going to change anytime soon. So now's the time for Paul and I to rant. And sharing in the same sentiment that you heard Deja say just now, it was Coach Beeman also says the same thing. You can hear from Coach Beeman, Deja Phillips, Imani Perez, and Lily Wahine Kapu on our YouTube channel. We have all the audio from, you know, them talking about their awards, or maybe not talking about it as much as you would, doing what they usually do.
Yeah.
And saying that the end goal is winning the championship on Saturday. But you can check it out on our YouTube channel to hear from all of them. But going back to the first team, again, this was kind of the shocker when it came out because we saw it just after the show yesterday, and seeing that Deja was the only Hawaii player, or let me specify, seeing that Lily was not with Deja on the first team for the All Big West, it was very, very shocking. And there's a few players, okay, like you kind of understand. So the player of the year went to Deja Lee of UC Irvine. And then, of course, she'll be on the first team, which makes sense. Jordan Webster, a player from UC Riverside that we're very familiar with as well. She's good. Alexis Whitfield, UC Santa Barbara. She was a player that gave Hawaii a very, very hard time when they played at UCSB. So those make sense to me. And it pains me because it's like I don't want to put down players specifically. But at the same time, like what Deja said, like Lily is not a second team player. She's a first team player. I mean, and Coach B said it as well. Any team in the Big West would have Lily starting
for
them.
They'd take her in a heartbeat.
They would have her on their first team. Now you have Natalia Ackerman, who's a forward for Cal Poly. Not too familiar with her game. And Evan Turner, a guard from UC Davis. Her too, I'm not too familiar with. To be honest, I can't even remember Deja Lee too much, to be exact. But I'm sure, hey, the people in the room that choose these players, she got player of the year, but to snub Lily Wahinekapu from the first team, and fortunately our players don't care as much, so we get that, but just because they don't want to talk about it doesn't mean we can't rant about the fact that Lily should be on the first team.
And just because they don't talk about it doesn't impact them at all, and it's not a chip on their shoulder, because they also mentioned yesterday how they still think about, they were, you know, somebody picked them third in the Big West Conference, and that they used as motivation all year. All they need is the smallest bit of bulletin board material, and for some reason, the Big West Conference continues to choose to give them more and more and more. Coach Beeman, I thought, put it exceptionally well, though, I will say, where she didn't put down anybody else. She wasn't like, oh, we shouldn't have put this player on the first team for Lily. I thought she made it interesting. You know, maybe it's time to look at expanding the first team if Lily didn't make it right there, because she's a first team player. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously it's not going to happen. We're not going to expand the first team. It is what it is. But that is the most direct way you'll hear Coach B be like, Lily's a first teamer. And it's a little bit shocking that she wasn't recognized as that by the conference. Either way, though, you heard it from Deja, you'll hear it from Lily, you'll hear it from Coach B, you'll hear it from Imani. All of them have the same exact mindset going to Henderson this week, and that is, we're trying to go to the big dance, and we're trying to have a high seed or higher seed in the big dance. Who cares about what these individual awards say?
That's why they won't rant about it, but we will. So, yeah. I'm just saying. But because when I think about the first team, I think about, it's not like... Like, I get it. Maybe they're just trying to make sure that it's, like, not two people from one team.
You want to give everybody love, too.
But when I feel like the first team is not necessarily the most valuable player from each team of some of the top teams. It's just the best players.
Take top five or six.
Yeah, from the entire Big West. And that's where I feel like, okay, it was a little bit of a, hey, did they look at this, their initial list, and be like, oh, we can't have two Hawaii players on this team, and since Deja won a specialty award, she has to be on the first team because that would look weird, so we'll just knock Lily down to the second team. That's kind of like if I put my thinking in the room, and they're like, yeah, maybe we can't have two Hawaii players. Not saying that happened, but I just don't know how Lily's...
Me personally, I would find that ridiculous. Lily Wahinekapu was the leading scorer on the first place team in the conference this year, the outright regular season Big West champion. As she's second in steals, second in assists, and like Deja said, she is a player of the year type candidate of a player. It's very surprising to see her on the second team. Nonetheless, very happy for all three who got their recognition, plus Coach B getting hers, as she very much so deserves. Congratulations to them. It's a continuation of the testament of how wonderful a team the Rainbow Wahine are, because you can make an argument that so many more players deserved some recognition, and then you look at their stats and it's like, oh, I guess their counting stats aren't that high as much because they didn't need to be.
But then, that's another thing, because you brought it up for a split second. Melanie McBee, how does she not get honorable mention?
That frustrated me as well.
Like, I look at the honorable mention, nobody else from Hawaii got even an honorable mention. I'm like, are you kidding me? How is it that not just the number one team, outright, convincingly. I mean, that last win, they won by almost 40 points.
Swept the second place team, like, by the way. swept UC Irvine.
So, Anyways.
Rant done.
Rant done, because now we look forward, and the ultimate prize is winning the Big West Conference tournament, because this should mean that they will get a higher seed in the Big Dance for the women's basketball team. So they are in action not until Friday, so they have the double bye. As you heard Deja, though, they're working out every day. Nothing changes just because they have the double bye. So they will await the winner of UC Davis / Cal State Fullerton, who will play Cal Poly, and then the winner of that will play Hawaii on Friday at 9 a.m. Hawaii time. I have to keep remembering. Yeah, because I'm like, no, it's not 2 hours, it's 3 hours this time. So 9 a.m. Hawaii time, and you can watch it on ESPN+. Plus, we'll be right back to close things out on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuhule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Dance party!
Woo! See, this is why we started with negative vibes, yeah, so we could get positive all the way through the hour and send the beautiful people Woo! Flying high into their hump day Wednesday.
Yes! Leave it to Beyonce to bring the dancing vibes in here. All right, to close out the show, though, we only got a few minutes left. If we weren't already done ranting or whatnot, nothing too major that came out. I think when I look at the Athletic's listing of the best players that were available in free agency that signed, newest one to come through, they actually have him listed as the top player, Danielle Hunter, formerly with the Vikings, edge rusher, signed with the Houston Texans, 2 years, $49 million. So the Texans just making moves and seem to be getting better. But probably the big news that came out yesterday, sorry, I just don't think it's real, is that Aaron Rodgers, quarterback for the New York Jets, is supposedly going to be a running mate, so potential vice president candidate.
I don't know why you're laughing. I don't know why. Yeah. Like, cool. Here's the thing. You don't understand because you're not a Jets fan. This is a normal Wednesday news drop for me. Like whatever, you know. Oh, Jets quarterback out for season, election, you know. Go back and look up Sam Darnold out, mononucleosis. Go look up that meme. Seeing ghosts. It's just one thing after another.
Oh my God.
Of course, we finally get a Hall of Fame quarterback. He tears his Achilles 4 snaps into the season. He talks about getting the BS out of the building in the offseason, and then all of a sudden he's running for vice president. It's just another day as a Jets fan, yeah. Coo.
So he seems to be the front runner to allegedly the running mate for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on the independent ballots, but
when he's out for a random game in November, I'm going to be so angry.
And it's funny because this is like the most political that you guys will ever hear us get on this show, but it's just...
I have no words other than just it's the most Jetsian thing ever.
Sorry.
And
that's the reason. It's like such a Jets thing, and then it's also such an Aaron Rodgers thing. And then as a Bears fan, that even though Aaron Rodgers is not on the Jets anymore, you just always enjoy laughing at him because he spent, you know, like decades laughing at us and beating the Bears. So it's just like,
it's just one thing after another, man. I don't even know how to wrap my brain around it. So I kind of think I refuse to do it. That's why I was so excited about the Tyrod Taylor signing for the Jets, because at least I won't have to watch Zach Wilson try and scuffle through playing quarterback this year. I can actually watch a guy who has played the position before. Well, AR8 now runs for vice president, I guess.
Well, I guess we will know within the next coming weeks when it's supposed to be officially announced, and OTAs don't begin until May. So
Rodgers is in Puerto Rico right now, by the way. So
so just wanted to leave you guys with that little tidbit on if things couldn't get any more interesting for Paul's team, the New York Jets. Yeah, just got more interesting. But we got to go. So for Paul Brecht, I'm Kuhule Ogbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye.